Congratulations, you have finished the ninth chapter. You're right in the heart of the Bhagavad Gita. These are the most important chapters, chapter 7 to chapter 12. Sure, that's okay.
Thank you.
I mean, they can stay.
But they made a lot of noise.
One more. So, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, ninth chapter, you have the first verse explains one quality one must have in order to understand Bhagavad Gita. And it says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Idam tu te guyatamam, pavakshyami anasuyabe, jnanam vijnanam sahitam, yajyatva muksasi subhat. So, if you want to be free of subhat, which means all misery, and who does not want to be free of all misery? I think they have to be crazy to not be free of all misery. Here is the formula given by Krishna. First of all, in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, he said one should be anasuya, free of any envy of God. Anasuyave. So, one must be non-envious of Krishna. Previously, in the fourth chapter, he said, Saevayam mayatedya yoga prokta puratana bhaktosime sakache ti rahasyam hiyatad uttamam. Fourth chapter, third verse, he says, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, meaning Arjuna, because you are my bhakta, as well as my sakka, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So one must be bhakta, devotee, one must be sakka, friend, and one must be anasuyave, non-envious of the Lord, in order to hear it properly and understand. Okay, and then further, there are many other qualities, but these are the main three. Bhakta, Sakka, Anasuyave. Then, one can understand Jnana and Vijnana. Jnana, Vijnana, Sahitam. Sahitam, Jnana means the knowledge by which you can differentiate between the soul and the body, or spirit and matter. And vijnana is the knowledge by which you can differentiate between the individual soul and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are all prerequisites to come to an understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And in the third chapter also, this is said, where it says, Tasmatam indriyanyado papmanam prajahi hi enam jnana vijnana nasanam. And this verse says, third chapter, 41st verse, therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust or kama, by regulating the senses, and slay the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So, unless we can control lust, we'll never be able to understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. It's not an academic study. because as long as one remains lusty, what is lust represented by? The desire to control, dominate, and enjoy nature. Nature includes living entities, people, possessions, cars, houses, trees, anything. As long as that desire is there to control, dominate, and enjoy something in the material world independent of Krishna, that is lust. And lust is the greatest enemy. Kama esa krodha esa raga guna samud bhavan mahasana mahapapma vidyenam vairinam. It's described as vairinam, worst enemy of the soul. And therefore, the ability to understand the difference between the body and the soul, and the difference between the individual soul, us, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as we have lust, jnana vijnana nasanam, it's lust destroys the ability to understand jnana and vijnana. Okay, so these are all important points. Now, we're in this world because our original love for Krishna was transformed into lust. And to transform the lust back to love of Krishna is extremely difficult. That's why manusyanam sahasre sukaschit jatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschit mam vititatvataha. Out of many thousands and thousands of people that try to advance in spiritual life, one may succeed. And of those, out of many thousands and thousands, maybe millions of those, one may actually come to understand Krishna. It's very rare. Why? Because it's almost impossible to transform lust back to love. It is possible, but it's not easy. Therefore, even up to the moment of death, people will remain attached to material things, even if they're chanting Hare Krishna. Unless one has the mercy of a bona fide devotee, and one develops a taste to constantly hear and chant the glories of the Lord, they will not be able to control the lust. And above all, one must be engaged in practical devotional service. Practical, time-sensitive devotional service. Then it's possible. Otherwise, I would say it's impossible to control lust. And we see many people die with many, many material attachments at the moment of death, and therefore they have to take birth again. Okay, so this becoming non-envious of Krishna, becoming Krishna's friend, becoming Krishna's devotee, these are prerequisites. Knowing thus, then this guhyatamam, this most secret of all secrets, will be revealed. Not that one will achieve it by academic study. It will be revealed by Krishna, who is Paramatma in your heart. He will reveal the knowledge by which you can come to him. Right? Dadami buddhi yogam tam. He gives the knowledge by which you can come to him. And a concomitant factor of this is yajgyatva moksha sisubhat. One becomes free, one becomes asubha. Moksha se asubhat. Free or released from the miserable material condition. So therefore, Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. So now we know why people suffer in life. Because they're lusty. Because they're envious of Krishna. They're trying to compete with Krishna by owning and controlling things and trying to enjoy them separately from the Lord. They make separations in their life. This is for Krishna. This is for me. As long as that separation is existing, this part of my life, I don't care about Krishna. This part of my life, I'll make a show of caring about Krishna. As long as that type of bifurcation is there in the mind, they remain attached to material things, and they cannot be liberated at the moment of death. In fact, Prabhupada says, even if you have a pinch of material attraction, you will stay in this world. A pinch, you know what a pinch is? Whereas the Hindi word is tuch, right? Even if you have a little tuch of attachment, you will stay in the material world. You will not go. You will not be allowed. You know. So therefore, manusyanam sahasri. So it's a very rare thing for someone to become a genuine doer. But it's not impossible. In fact, Krishna says, Daivihi esa gunamayi, mama maya durateya, mam evaye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. Taranti means very easy. He says, there's a dichotomy between duratyaya and taranti. Daivihi esa gunamayi, mama maya durateya. He says, it's virtually impossible to overcome my daivi maya. Inferior material nature, which is actually spiritual, right? The material nature is also spiritual. It's not material. It looks material to us because we're trying to exploit it, but it's not material. It's spiritual, and it belongs to Krishna, and it's his divine nature. That means it's impossible to overcome it. Duratyaya. However, mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. One who surrenders unto me can easily cross over the material nature, easily. So it's not impossible, but one must genuinely surrender to Krishna under the instruction of bona fide spiritual teachers. As a devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Shinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hirdiyantak Stohi Vadrani Viduna Hiti Srihit Sutam. The message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. So, it's not academic. It can only be realized in the association of genuine devotees. And one must be favored by Krishna in order to understand it. In other words, Krishna chooses you for understanding when he's pleased by our service and dedication to bona fide devotees. Okay. So, this cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. So there's so many academic scholars who teach Bhagavad Gita. Thousands, millions. And people are studying with them, but they never really end up understanding Krishna. How do we know someone has understood Krishna? They come to the same conclusion as Arjuna. Arjuna is number one student of Bhagavad Gita. So if after reading Bhagavad Gita you come to the same conclusion as Arjuna, then you have actually read Bhagavad Gita. And if you don't, even though you read Bhagavad Gita, you didn't read it because you didn't understand it. So what is Arjuna's mature understanding? Parambhava parambhavam pavitram idam uttamam padyakshivagamam dharmam suskam kartamaviyam. Well, anyway, his mature understanding is Purusham Sasvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhu Ahustvam Rishaya Sarver Na Devarsir Naradastata Asito Devula Vyasa Swayameva Bhavishime. Arjuna said, you, Krishna, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma, the ultimate abode, in other words, ultimate destination, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, the purest, Paramam Bhavam, and the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purusham, the eternal transcendental person. Purusham sastvatam divyam. You are the original and eternal transcendental personality of Godhead. Meaning, Purusham means you're a person. You're not an it. You're not a light. You're not love. Some people say God is love. It doesn't mean anything. You have to be a person in order to love and share your love with other people. You can't be an it or a non-person. So, and then he says, Adidevam, you're the original God. Ajam, you're never born. And Vibhum, you're the greatest personality. And then, on top of that, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the great sages have said this about you, and today, you are telling me the same thing. So that's Arjuna's mature understanding. And then he says, Sarvam etam ritan manye, yanman madhusi keshava. So he says that, whatever you say, Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Devana Dhanava, whatever you say, I accept it as the truth. I have no more doubts in my mind about who you are. Whatever you say, I accept it as the truth. And neither the demigods nor the demons can understand your personality. And then he says, Swayam evatmanatmana vita tvam purushottamam bhuta bhavana bhutesu deva deva jagat pate. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person. You are the origin of all living beings, the God of all gods, Lord of the universe. Deva Deva Jagat Pate. That this is Arjuna's mature understanding of Krishna. If we don't come to this understanding of Krishna, we have not really read Bhagavad Gita. We read something, but it wasn't Bhagavad Gita, some other book. Even though it has Bhagavad Gita in the title, but we didn't read it. Because we didn't come to the right understanding. Any understanding different than Arjuna is wrong. He's number one expert of Bhagavad Gita. If you read Bhagavad Gita and you come to an understanding that you are Krishna, then you have made a big mistake. Or that Krishna is Lord Shiva, you made a big mistake. Or that, I don't know, Ganapati is Shiva, or Ganapati is Krishna, you made a big mistake. So, these, and you'll see India is one big pot of khichdi. People have so many different concepts of Bhagavad Gita. I mean, you'd say, wait a minute, this is their number one book. You think they would understand it? No, they don't understand. Very few people understand Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna says. So the symptom of a devotee is that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, always engaged in the service of book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. Book Bhagavat is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavat is bona fide gurus who are exemplifying not only the knowledge but the proper understanding of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So engaged in a Supreme Lord service, the Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him or her the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. So here you have the formula. You have sadhu sangha. You have Krishna kripa. You have Bhagavad darshan, understanding, regular hearing, studying. Bhagavad, the Holy Scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Ishopanishad. And you have Krishna Prasad, regularly taking Krishna Prasad. And you have Krishna Seva, regularly serving the Lord. These are all part of the culture of understanding properly. If any one of those things is missing, you will not understand properly. Especially Krishna Seva. Sevan Mukehi Jivado. you begin to serve with the tongue, because the tongue will taste prasadam and the tongue will vibrate Bhagavad Gita and spiritual knowledge. Right? And that vibration is very important. Machita makita pranak bodhyantas parasparam katyantas chamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. When devotees meet each other, they derive great pleasure and satisfaction by speaking about Krishna and enlightening one another about Krishna. They don't talk gossip and nonsense. If someone talks gossip and nonsense to you, you know they're not really a devotee. Outside looks like a devotee, inside is not a devotee. Because the inside is full of gossip and nonsense and criticism. See? That means they're not a devotee. So this matchita matkata pranak bodhyantas parasparam, 10th chapter verse 9, it says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is what you should be doing, at least when you come here. You're in a sangha where you're trying to enlighten one another by speaking and thinking about Krishna. This means you have entered into the spiritual world, because that's what's going on all the time. If you read the Krishna book, you see gopis are always talking about Krishna. That's their main subject. That's their only subject. That's why they're liberated eternally. And that subject is so varied that you could go on, even if you're on Ananta Dev with millions of heads and millions of tongues, you still would not come to the end of Krishna Katha. That's how varied it is. So the Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him or her the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, very powerful. And if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he or she will certainly make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this 9th chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. Therefore, this chapter is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. What is the most confidential knowledge? Well, if we come to the end of the chapter, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Mad Yajimam Namaskuru Mam Evaisisi Yuktvaivam Mat Atmanam Mat Parayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So that is the confidential knowledge. And then even more than that, in the 18th chapter says, Sarvadharmam Purityaja Mami Kam Saranam Raja Ham Tvam Sarvapapi Pyo Moksi Syami Masu Jaha. Simply surrender unto me, Krishna says, and you'll be free of all sinful reactions and always engage in my service. You have nothing to fear. I will take care of you. Everybody wants someone to take care of them, don't they? Just like all of you have had mothers and fathers, uncles and aunties, grandfathers, grandmothers. But they die. And one day you're alone. They're all dead. Who's going to take care of you? We think, oh, my father will never die. Of course they're going to die. And who's going to, your father took care of you. Who's going to take care of you now? You have no father left. You have no mother left. You have no uncles and aunties. They're all dead. Who's going to take care of you? Krishna is going to take care of you. This is the guarantee that he gives. He says, Kim Punar. I already said that. He says, Kunteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakta Pranasyati. Shipam Bhavati Dharamatma Satsvas Chantim Nikachati. He says, that person who is always engaged in my service, quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. Yes. And then, Kimpunar Brahmana Bhaktya Punya Bhaktya Raja Sayas Tata Anidyam Asukam Lokam Imam Pratya Rajasyamam. 933, he says, how much more so are the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings, therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in love and service unto me. Yes. Because, mamhi partha vipasritya yipi syu papayonaha striya vaishas tata sudras tipi antiparangatim. Those who take shelter of me, O Arjuna, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Sudras workers can attain the supreme destination. So one time I read this verse in a class, and this one woman's liberation advocate started screaming, ah! And she didn't stop. She did not stop. Ah! She was like screaming, you know. So I said, what's the matter, man? Your God insulted women. I said, no, he didn't insult women. So why did he say women are lower born? I said, well, he said, he didn't just say women. He said, merchants and sudras, workers, those are all men. They outnumber them. The 2-1. He didn't just say women. He said, the men also, 2-1, the men. But I said, that's not the message here. The message of this is there's great hope for women, sudras, and merchants. The bunyas, right? Mamhi partha vipasritya. Those who take shelter of me, vipasritya, though they be of lower birth, can attain the supreme tipi antiparangatim, the supreme destination. So this is a verse of hope. It's not a hopeless verse. It's giving hope to everyone, especially men and women. So it's clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. Wow, now that's hope. There's no distinction. Because you're a lower class or you're a higher class. Anyone. Krishna doesn't see lower class, higher class. He sees the soul that's part and parcel of him. Yes. And this is very important, because when you're properly trained by a bona fide guru and gurus, then what happens? Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such delusion. What's the illusion? I am this body. Purpose of life is sense gratification. To have sense gratification, I should make money. I make money in any way, hook or crook, because I want sense gratification. That's an illusion. It's not the purpose of life. So therefore it says, yajgyatva na punar mohan evam yasya sipandava yena bhutani se sani draksasi atomayi draksasi atmani atomayi. So when you come to knowledge by surrendering to bona fide gurus, Shiksha and Diksha gurus, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So we all belong to Krishna according to mature understanding. It's not that one person is a Gujarati, another person is a Punjabi, another person is an Andhra Pradeshi, another person is a Tamilian. That is actually Maya. We all belong to Krishna. We're all members of Achyuta Gotra, Krishna's family. He's the original father. How do we know that? Because Arjuna says so. That's how we know it. He says it in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where 11th chapter 44. He says that 43rd verse. Pitasi lokasya characharasya It's 11th chapter, 43rd verse. Tvamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan natvat samosti abhyadika kutosnyo loka trayapi apratima prabhava. Arjuna says, you are the father, Pita, of this complete cosmic manifestation, of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? Ah, so he's our Pita. That means we're all his children. We belong to him. This world belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. We belong to him. The world belongs to him. Therefore, we should follow his instructions. You want to be a good son or daughter? Follow the instructions of your parents. You want to be a rebel? And you're not a good son or daughter. A rebel doesn't follow the instructions of Pita and Mata. Mata and Pita. See? So, Arjuna saw Krishna. He was with Krishna. Arjuna is Krishna's friend. Arjuna is Krishna's devotee. Arjuna is non-envious of Krishna. So, if this is his realization of who Krishna is, then we should come to the same understanding. Otherwise, we're not reading Bhagavad Gita. We're reading some other book. See? This is the way we will understand ourselves if we've actually read on Bhagavad Gita and understood it, because we come to the same conclusions as Arjuna. Okay, so even the lowest of people, like chandalas, can be purified by the association with a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men and women. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man taking shelter of the pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance. Now that's the key word. Proper guidance is the key word here. Yeah, people, there's so many people saying so many things. Oh, it's okay. You can chant Hare Krishna better if you smoke marijuana. Yeah, there are people, there are devotees like that, or so-called devotees. They practice smoking marijuana and chanting Hare Krishna. The intensity of the chanting increases by smoking. You see? So, if you ever meet a person like that, immediately turn around and run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. And not only that, jump into the Ganga to get purified. Yes, because it's very dangerous to meet people like that. They're chanting Hare Krishna and smoking bidi. You see? Or smoking ganja, very dangerous. Yes, so according to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, the brahmanas, mode of passion, kshatriyas, administrators, and the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, the vaishyas, or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, sudras, or workers. Yeah, 9:32. Those lower than them are called chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. Now, this is the difference between what's going on in many parts of India. For example, the Dalits are not allowed in the temple. Why not? Ah, they're considered lowborn. Okay. The Bhangis, the Sudras, and so forth. Sometimes, if a Brahmin sees a Sudra, he'll stop and walk all the way around so he doesn't cross that Sudra's path. You see? There was once a Brahmin in Srirangam. He was living in Srirangam is divided. It's a classical and wonderful Vedic town. You have a section for the Brahmanas, you have a section for the Kshatriyas, you have a section for the sutras and so forth, and the merchants, Vaishyas. So it's divided in these four parts, but they're all around the central temple. So one Brahmin, after he had taken a bath and put on clean clothes, he was walking to the temple to do worship for Ranganathji, and a dog passed his, came across his path. So he picked up the stone, hut, hut, and he threw the stone at the dog. And the dog became very angry and started speaking Sanskrit. So who do you think you are? You're an imposter. You're not a Brahmin. So I'm putting you under citizen's arrest. And I'm going to take you in front of the king. You're going to answer for what you did. The Brahmin was shocked. He's speaking perfect Sanskrit. He's a dog. And he started growling, growling. You better follow me right now or I'll bite you. The Brahmin got, Brahmins, they're not kshatriyas, right? They can get scared. So he had never seen a dog like this, speaking perfect Sanskrit. And he puts him under citizen's arrest. And he takes him right to the king's palace. And everyone was shocked. And the dog starts speaking to the guards in Sanskrit. So, let me in. I want to see the king. They see this dog. And they look at the Brahmin. The Brahmin says, do what he says. So they go in. And the king is shocked too. He said, I've never seen anything like this. Dog is speaking perfect Sanskrit. He said, yes, sir, what's the problem? He said, this man is an imposter. He's not a real Brahmin. The king said, how do you know? He said, how do I know? Because he threw a stone at me. He said, well, I don't know what to say. What do you suggest? He said, I suggest that you make him the head priest of Ranganathji temple. The king said, that doesn't sound like punishment. He said, yes it is. He said, well, how is it? Because last life I was the head priest. Look what happened to me. You see? So we have to be very careful. Just because someone has a big position doesn't mean anything if they misbehave, right? Look what happened to him. He was the head priest, he became a dog. That's the next slide. Of course, because he was the head priest and he did service, he was dog in Ranganath, in Srirangam. So that's good. It's better than being a dog in downtown New York or something like that, So whenever you see the dogs and the monkeys in holy places, especially Vrindavan, do not think they're ordinary people. They were great devotees, but they made some mistake. Therefore, they have to pass one life as a dog or a pig or a monkey in Vrindavan or Srirangam or someplace to clean up that karma so they can go back to Godhead. We easily become bewildered by the material energy and take things for granted. We should not take anything for granted, especially in holy places. We should always understand anyone or anything in the holy place is special. And they're not ordinary. And we should be very respectful. Okay, so the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. In other words, a pure devotee can take an adama and make him uttama. And if a person misbehaves, even though they're uttama, they can become adama, the lowest of the lowest. So we have to be very, very careful. The more you advance in spiritual life, the more you become careful, because you realize the consequences. And the worst thing we can do is commit Vaishnava aparads. The blasphemed devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. Very serious offense against the holy name. Nam aparad. And to commit sinful activities on the basis of chanting Hare Krishna One time, this one devotee committed a very sinful activity, and being the temple president, I had to confront this person. And I said, "What do you have to say?" He said, "Oh, I'm not worried. I know how to chant Hare Krishna." I said, "But you committed a very sinful act." "Oh, I'll just chant Hare Krishna a little more and clean it up." That's the seventh offense against the holy name. To think that you can commit a sinful act and then just by chanting Hare Krishna will be nullified. It's not a fact. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna can nullify more sins than you can commit in many lifetimes. But if you purposely use that knowledge to go on sinning and chanting, then you're committing the seventh offense against the holy name, which is called the elephant offense. Elephant offense means if you let an elephant come into your garden and you have nice rose bushes and vegetables and flowers, and what's going to happen? He'll walk around a little bit and destroy everything in a very short time because he's an elephant. Right? Got big feet. He's heavy. So the elephant offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. And this person, that's exactly, and I pointed it out to him. I said, "This is the seventh offense. You cannot imagine doing things like that. Just because you know how to chant Hare Krishna, therefore you can commit any sin you want, and then you just chant a little bit more, and you think it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. Because it's an aparad. It's going to get worse." Okay, so this is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. So, coming back to the beginning of the chapter, when people take shelter of Krishna, miraculous things happen. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Vidam Uttamam Pratyaksha Bhagamam Dharamam Susakam Kartam Avyayam. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is the king of all knowledge. Raja Vidya. In other words, you don't need to study anything else in life. You just study Bhagavad Gita. It's considered the best of all scriptures. And of all the Vedic scriptures. Why? Because in 700 verses, it gives you a complete understanding of the absolute truth. This is explained also. In the fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita is the best of all Vedic scriptures. Fourth chapter, 40th verse, Prabhupada says, "Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best." So this book that you have in your hand right now, Bhagavad Gita, is the best of all the Vedic literatures. It gives you pure knowledge. And this verse, 9th chapter, 2nd verse, explains it. Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmam. It gives direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and Susukam Kartamavya is joyfully performed. This is not an ordinary book. This is way better than the Quran and the Bible, and almost all the other Vedic scriptures. This is the best. This Bhagavad Gita is called Raja Vidya, the king of education, because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. So there are many philosophies in India. Sad Darshan. You have Karma Mimamsa. You have Nyaya. You have Vaisheshika. You have Sankhya. And you have Vedanta. You know, these are different sad darshans. There's six sad darshans. However, among the principal philosophers in India are Gautama. He taught Nyaya. Kanada, Vaisheshika, Kapila, Sankhya, Yajnavalkya, and so forth. Sandilya and Vaishnava, Vara. And finally, there's Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. So there's so much knowledge in the philosophy and of India, of Bharat. Now the Lord says that in the ninth chapter, the king of all this knowledge, the essence of all this knowledge, can be derived from the study of the Vedas and different kinds of philosophies. It is the most confidential, because confidential transcendental knowledge involves understanding the difference between the soul and the body. And the king of all confidential knowledge culminates in devotional service. So there you go. This Bhagavad Gita will give you direct perception of who you are in relationship to Krishna and everything else, the material world, and so forth. And it's called the king of all knowledge. In other words, you don't have to read Sankhya Yoga. You don't have to read Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. You don't have to read Gautama's Nyaya. You read all those things, you'll just get confused anyway. Has anybody ever read Nyaya philosophy? Sankhya philosophy? You just get confused. Why do you get confused? Because there's the real Kapila, Devahuti Kapila, and there's a false Kapila, who gave a false interpretation of Sankhya. And that false interpretation is the one that you take off the bookshelves in India, not the real Sankhya. And the same thing with Vedanta. And the same thing with Karma Mimamsa. All of these have modern proponents that have given false interpretations of it, and those false interpretations are accepted by Vedic scholars as the real philosophy. That's why I say India is one big pot of khichdi. To unravel all the misconceptions is almost impossible. Unless you meet someone like Srila Prabhupada, who's a representative of Brahmagudya Sampradaya, coming originally from Krishna, or even the Sri Sampradaya, or the Kumara Sampradaya, or Rudra Sampradaya. These are the four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. So generally people are not educated in this confidential knowledge. They are educated in external knowledge. Yeah, everybody knows C++, JavaScript. But how many of those people that studied JavaScript know Bhagavad Gita? Almost zero. Right? They spent all their time studying JavaScript. They didn't spend their time studying Bhagavad Gita. They all think they know Bhagavad Gita. Karmani Vadikaraste Mafali Sukadachana. Just do your duty. My duty, I drive a taxi. My duty, I'm in front of the computer all day. So I'm following Bhagavad Gita. That's the wrong interpretation of that verse. That's nonsensical interpretation of that verse. But everybody knows Karmani Vadikaraste Mafali Sukadachana. They all learned this one verse in high school. Or an elementary school, you know, and they think they know Bhagavad Gita. They don't know anything. They're wasting their time in this human life with all these misconceptions and false understandings. So, as far as ordinary education is concerned, people are involved in so many departments: politics, sociology, physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, engineering, etc. There are so many departments of knowledge all over the world and many huge universities. But there is unfortunately no university or educational institution where the science of the spirit soul is instructed. That's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted every temple to be a university of Atma Tattva, where people can come and learn the real knowledge. Raja Vidya, not Sudra Vidya or Asura Vidya. It's Raja Vidya. It's Atma Tattva, understanding the nature of the soul and its eternal relationship with Krishna. Yet the soul is the most important part of the body. Yeah, if your soul is not in your body, you're dead. Right? So it's the most important part of our body, but yet no one's interested in the soul. They're just interested in the body. Why? Because they've been misled. They haven't really received jnana. In the name of jnana, they've been instructed agyan. You see? Just like I said, every one of the sad-darshans, there's a false proponent of it in modern times. There's the real Kapila and the false Kapila. The real Kapila explained real Sankhya Yoga to his mother Devahuti, and the false Kapila came and explained some travesty of Sankhya in modern times. And when you take this Sankhya Yoga book off the shelf, right, it's the false Kapila's explanation, not the real. You see how dangerous life is in India? Every one of the sad-darshans has been given a false interpretation in modern times, and the false interpretation accepted in the universities as the real one. So what hope is there for the people to understand? There's no hope. They'll never come to the right understanding. They'll spend all their time studying the false interpretations. Without the presence of the soul, the body has no value. Still, people are placing great stress on the bodily necessities of life, not caring for the vital soul. Yeah, so today, everyone does yoga. But the yoga they do is simply for the body. It has nothing to do with the soul. Is that true or not true? Yeah. It's just doing yoga for the body. They think, my body would be more fit. What about the soul? The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord says that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. Antavanta ime deha nityas yukta sarīranam. That is a confidential part of knowledge. Simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from this body, and that its nature is immutable, meaning it cannot be changed, indestructible, it cannot be destroyed, and eternal. But that gives no positive information about the soul. It just explains certain things. But the real positive information about the soul is the following. Sometimes people are under the impression that the soul is different from the body, and that when the body is finished, or one is liberated from the body, the soul remains in a void and becomes impersonal. But actually, that's not the fact. How can the soul, which is so active within this body, be inactive after being liberated from the body? It is always active. Nahika shitsanam api jatu tistati karma krit. See, if you look at the third chapter, beginning of the third chapter, where Krishna says, Karyate avasa karma. Karyate avasa sarva pakriti jaya gunai. He says, everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Just look at your kids. Can they stop doing something? Everyone's fidgeting around, and then they're laughing, and then they want to look at this. They can't stop. They can't stop. You try and stop them, they can't. You have two of them, right? Can they stop? No. That's the nature of the soul. It's not just that when the soul is in the body, it can't stop doing things. That's the nature of the soul, and Prabhupada explains that. He says, it is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. And then the Mayavadi philosophers say, after you're liberated, there's no activity. You're like a dead stone. Right? Complete nonsense. But yet people believe it. The majority of people in India believe that nonsensical, impersonal philosophy as the truth. Nirakar, nirguna. They think that, when I become liberated from the body, they're nirguna, no qualities, right? No more No more activity. So, if the soul is eternal, then it is eternally active, and its activities in the spiritual kingdom are the most confidential part of spiritual knowledge. The Mayavadi said there's nothing in the spiritual world. There's just some light. And there's no thought. There's no activity. There's no body. There's no cell phone. Oh my God. No cell phone. I don't want to go to the spiritual world. Yes. There's no Facebook. Oh my God. No. There was one preacher in England, and he was preaching, and no one was really listening. They were just sitting there, but they were not really listening. So he was preaching about hell. He said, "And when you go to hell, there's fire." No one was impressed. "And you will burn eternally." No one cared. You know, they were just like that. And then he said, "And there's no newspaper." Everyone, "What? There's no newspaper? Oh, I don't want to go to hell." Yeah, because, you know, everyone was reading the newspaper. Well, today the newspaper is Facebook, Twitter, and all these things. So, you know, if you tell your teenage kid, you know, "There are no cell phones in the spiritual world." "What? I don't want to go to the spiritual world. You know, I can't live without Facebook." In fact, there's a study that was done. When a teenager is driving, as soon as they get a Facebook message, there's a special, you know, noise that's made from their phone. It doesn't matter they're driving. They immediately look at it, try and see what it is. And then they try and answer, even though they're driving. Right? It's an addiction. So let's say you get a letter, right? A letter comes from India. So you don't like immediately answer it. It's okay, I'll answer it tomorrow, right? But this Facebook and Twitter, as soon as you get a message, you have to answer back. Otherwise, you lose the interest of the other person, right? They're waiting there, you know, pins and needles. When are they going to answer? I can't wait till the answer comes, right? You see? So it has changed everyone's biorhythms. Seriously, it's changed. Like, you notice I don't have my cell phone. I never bring it when I, you know. Because, you know, you hear a little ding. You know, that means you got a text, right? So, you know, the normal reaction is you put your hand in and you get the, you know, you see. It's completely changed the way people are living. And it's very dangerous. You know, you're driving, ding, like that. Even though you're driving, these teenagers, they'll look right away and then they'll try and text with one finger to answer. It's extremely dangerous. Okay, so we'll stop in a few minutes. I get carried away this ninth chapter because there's so much here. It's just all nectar. Yeah. Okay, so in this verse, you notice the purport to the second verse is very long. And Prabhupada explains the life of Narada Muni. Here's a person whose mother was less than a Sudra, right? Or at least a Sudra, you know. Doesn't look like she had a husband. And she had this young boy, and she was a maidservant. But during the Chaturmasya, these sannyasis and great devotees asked her to serve them, you know, keep their, where, you know, usually Chaturmasya the devotees will stay in one place because it's raining and weather is not good. And during that time they increase the hearing and chanting and they eat less and so forth. So, she didn't put her son in Gopal's garden. She didn't have any money. Right? She was just a maidservant. So the son would be there and she'd be serving the Bhaktivedantas, the great devotees. And the son, they liked him. You know, as a little boy, he was not like 5 years old. So they would give him the remnants of their prasadam and he would eat it. And because of that, he developed an attraction to listening to them talk, even though he didn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking, you know, high philosophy, and he was listening. He, you know, it's not sure that he understood, but he had developed this attraction to listening. and taking the prasadam. And then Chaturmasya is over, they left, and then quickly after that his mother died and he was alone. But because of the association he had with these great devotees, he wasn't afraid. And he went on throughout that life being himself a devotee. And when he died, it was the end of a day of Brahma. And then the next day of Brahma, after the whole night, he took birth as the son of Brahma, Narada Muni. And he was instructed by his father. So you see in the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, you have Brahma, Narada, Vyasa. He became Narada Muni, the son of Brahma, and the second person in our Sampradaya, and a liberated person. He's still around. He's eternal. And he can travel anywhere in the material and spiritual world. He even goes to Narak to preach. A liberated person, you see. But he was very low born. But by that little bit of association, he transformed completely. And that's being explained here. Narada was actually a son of a maidservant. He had no opportunity to go to school. He was simply assisting his mother, and unfortunately his mother rendered some, and fortunately his mother rendered some service to the devotees. The child Narada also got the opportunity, and simply by association achieved the highest goal of all religion. The highest goal of all religion is devotional service. Bhaktya abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvato mishite tatvatami. So this is explained in 18th chapter, 55th verse. Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So therefore, throughout the whole Vedic literature, we have many examples of this. Sabari is another example. She had no education. She ran away from home when she was a young girl. She was like 13 or 14. The rest of her life, she lived in the jungle. But yet, because she took shelter, Matanga Muni, even though she couldn't take shelter inside the ashram, she always stayed outside the ashram. But she rendered service, and eventually he accepted her as a disciple, and he gave her a service. You stay here, I'm going to leave with the rest of the disciples. You stay here in the ashram. One day Lord Ram and Lakshman will come. And when they come, you give them clean water, you give them fruits and roots, and you explain to them how they can find Sugriva. And she stayed there. And probably for a very long time, it could be hundreds, maybe thousands of years, until Lord Ram came. Alone. Simply following the instructions of her guru. And Lord Ram and Lakshman came. She did exactly what her guru said. And then she asked them permission. Can I take leave? And they said yes. So she made a fire and committed sati. Walked into the fire. She burned. And then a transcendental body came out in the smoke of the fire. And then she gave final pranams to Lord Ram. Took his permission. And then she rose the heavenly planets to join her guru, you see. A woman that had no qualifications at all. But because she got guru kripa, she attained perfection. Mam hi pata vipasritya yepi su papayunaha striya vaishas tata sudras tepiyanti param gatim. So, this verse in the 9th chapter, see, if you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, then you understand all the Vedic literature. You'll understand all the stories in the Puranas and the Ramayana, because these verses are the basis of the philosophy that's being exemplified by the Puranas and the other Vedic literatures. So it says, ninth chapter, verse number 32. Those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, Sudras, can attain the supreme destination. So, Hanuman, Jatayu, a vulture, attains the supreme destination. Guha attains the supreme destination. Sabari attains the supreme destination. Kabanga attains the supreme destination. All these people, Vibhishan, who is a Rakshasa, attains the supreme destination. Ram does not differentiate low-born or high-born. As long as they surrender, Sharanam, they receive the Lord's mercy. This is real Bhagavad Gita. This is real Vedic knowledge. This false caste system in India is not Vedic. It's something that was made up. And here you have the example of Narada Muni. He's very low-born, but yet he attains the highest position. The highest goal of all religion is devotional service. This is the message we should understand from Bhagavad Gita, from this ninth chapter. The highest purpose or goal of all religion is bhakti, as explained in 18th chapter, 55th verse. Religious people, as the highest goal of religion is devotional service, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai pumsa paro dharmo yato bhakti rahoksaje haitukiya pratihata yayatma supasiddhi. The highest goal of all religion is to attain pure love for Krishna. Religious people generally do not know that the highest perfection of religion is the attainment of devotional service. They think devotional service is for sentimental people who don't have higher understanding of Vedanta philosophy. This is the utmost ignorance when people think like that. One time a man who used to come to our temple all the time stopped coming. And one day I met him somewhere. I said, Prabhu, what happened? I don't see you anymore. So, oh, well, your guru is not teaching the highest knowledge. I said, what? I found another guru who's teaching higher knowledge. I said, what's that higher knowledge? Well, he said, my guru told me not to tell you. I said, you can tell me, I'm your friend. The higher knowledge is I can become Krishna and dance with the gopis. I said, what? Are you crazy? You're passing stool and urine and you're going to become Krishna? I said, are you passing stool and urine every day? He said, yes. Then how are you going to become Krishna? Krishna has a transcendental body. He said, no, by meditation I'll become Krishna. I said, how much are you meditating every day? Well, my guru said, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night. You see how silly people are? Now, how could he be misled like that? Because he has a cheating propensity in his heart. You can only be cheated if you are a cheater yourself. If you're an honest person, you cannot be cheated. You'll recognize right away who a cheater is because you're honest. But if you have a dishonest propensity, then there are greater cheaters than you that will cheat you. Because you have that propensity. And they'll be able to tell. Because they're greater cheaters, they can understand people. They know right away if you have a cheating propensity, and they feed your propensity, and you'll be cheated. Only an honest person cannot be cheated. Because they will recognize who a cheater is right away. Anyways, there's so much nectar here. The one thing we should remember by this ninth chapter, the highest perfection of religion that one can attain is devotional service, is bhakti, is engaging in the service, practical, time-sensitive service in the temple. So I don't want to belabor you too much. I know we didn't cover a lot of verses, but this is the essence of the ninth chapter. So if you have any questions, you can ask me on any of the verses of the ninth chapter or any subject. Go ahead. See, this is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. This is hearing Bhagavad Gita. We could read this ninth chapter 1,000 times, and on the 1,000th time, we'll still find something we didn't realize. This is not ordinary knowledge. This knowledge is like a kaleidoscope. It just keeps going on and on, deeper and deeper. You know, there's a surface understanding, then a little bit below the surface, then below that, then higher than that, higher. It's just unending, because you're coming closer to Krishna, and Krishna is infinitely great. One of his names is Ananta. So there's no end to his qualities and his pastimes and to this knowledge. So if you have any questions, you can ask it. What happens is, the more you go into this subject, the more your faith becomes stronger. Ashradadana purusha dharmasya separantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityusam saradvartamani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies, Arjuna. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. So, to become faithful to Krishna, you have to continually go on hearing and chanting, and above all, serving. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayochitaha Jnaniyat Yasavairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By serving Krishna, Vasudeva Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. Bhakti Yoga Prayochita, serving Him with pure devotion. Jnaniyat Yasavairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. Naturally, you develop jnana and vairagya. You don't have to independently try and achieve jnana and vairagya. They'll come naturally in the process of doing devotional service. So devotional service is the most important thing in the association of good devotees. And there's 9 types of devotional service, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Hearing is number one. Repeating and chanting the glories of the Lord. Hearing about Krishna and then repeating them, glorifying the Lord. And then remembering. Sometimes we hear, sometimes we repeat, but often we can't remember. Is that a fact? All right. So, how do you improve your memory? This is a very important point. How do you improve your memory? This is explained by Prabhupada. Let me see if I can give you the exact quote. Okay, let's take a look. Third chapter 11th verse. Yes. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. You want to improve your memory? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's the 8th chapter, 8th verse in the purport. In this verse, Krishna stresses the importance of remembering Him. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Tetasa Nanyagamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Partana Chintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. And Krishna says, in this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. There you are. You want to improve your memory? Chant Hare Krishna. If your memory is not good, I can tell you why. You're not chanting. That's what you say. That's not what Prabhupada says. Then you have to improve the quality of the chanting. Yes. You can't be thinking of work and chanting. You have to think only of Krishna. Yeah. Okay.
When it comes to mind, the mind is so flickering, it will move in all directions, but we have to bring it back all the time.
Yes.
And Prabhupada said it took him 30 years to improve his chanting. Where do we stand, Prabhupada?
You will have a long life, don't worry.
No.
What you have to do is you have to save your old slippers. Yes. Every morning when you wake up, you take the old slipper and start beating yourself on the head. You rascal, wake up. Okay, start chanting. Meditate on Krishna. Stop thinking about all this other nonsense.
But Prabhu, this is also said that you don't have to meditate on Krishna, just listen to the sound. Listen to the
Well, that's
sound.
Meditating on Krishna, because the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. Right? Vinadvam namanamine. Krishna's name are non-different. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here unless there are any questions. If there are no questions, then we'll meditate on Krishna as prasad. Haribo, thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. So what's the most important thing we should remember about the ninth chapter? The goal of all religion
is devotional service.
All the goal of the whole Vedic knowledge, devotional service to Krishna, rendered without any material purpose, simply to please the Lord.
If you,
one or all nine. One or all nine.
But
you should not decide. You have to get the advice of bona fide spiritual authority. You should not decide that. You might have a penchant for something, but you need the guidance, right? Proper guidance. Didn't we read that, right? Proper guidance. Very necessary.
So Prabhu, isn't it Atmani Vedana is the prema stage?
Atmani Vedana means giving everything to Krishna, surrendering completely to Krishna.
That's the prema stage?
Are you saying that Maharaj Parikshit didn't attain prema because he didn't do Atmani Vedana?
He did
Shravana. Right? And then Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't do Atmani Vedam, he did Kirtanam. But they both attained perfection. They're all important. All nine are important. Any one or all? They're all important. Any one or all, you'll achieve perfection of spiritual life. It's not that one is better than the other. They're all important. So, yeah, Atma Nivedam is very important, completely surrendering to the Lord. But Shushu Saho Shradadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nisevanat Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said, anyway, Shushu Saho Sadhanasya Vasudeva Katavra. By very attentively and seriously listening to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., Vasudeva Kataruchi, one develops a taste for hearing about the Lord, about Vasudeva. Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra, and that is supported by rendering service to pure devotees. Punya tirtani sevanat. this hearing regularly and rendering service to devotees, punya tirtha. This is the seva. This is ultimate beneficial activity for a person. Right? So, hearing is the most important thing. Shrotavya, kirtitavya, smartavya, chichat, abhayam. Tasmat bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hari shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavya chichat abhayam. This is a very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, second canto, first chapter, fifth verse. And it says, let me just get the exact wording. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. So we heard today, Idam tu te guyatamam, pavakshyami anasuyave, gyanam vijyanam sayatam, yajgyatva moksa sisubhat. If you want to be free of all miseries, then Shrotavya, kirtitavyascha, smartavya, chichat, abhayam. Always hear about the Lord. Always repeat or glorify the Lord. Kirtan. And always remember the Lord. Then you'll be free of all miseries. By not doing, when miseries come and problems come, we tend to not chant, not hear, and not remember the Lord, and we get all stressed out. And the miseries take over. The panacea for all these miseries is Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya, Chichat, Abhayam. One becomes Abhaya, fearless, by regularly hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord. Why do people get, panic attack? Right? You know, you heard of the panic attack? What's going to happen? Oh my God, I'm so worried. I can't do anything. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. Oh my God. Right. Why? Because there's no shrotavya, kirtitavyascha, smartavya, chichat, abhayam. They're not hearing. They're not chanting. They're not remembering the Lord. So they get stressed. And what's the solution for stress? Drugs, benzodiazepines, medical marijuana, whatever. That's why more than half of this country is drugged every day. And it begins early in life. Very early in life. Just kids, they start taking drugs. The doctor, your kid has attention deficit disorder. We'll give him this drug. And then they become drug addicts right from, kindergarten or first or second or third grade. And then when they don't get the drug, they get really stressed. And sometimes they commit suicide. Hari Bol. So the best drug, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya, Chichat, Abhayam. Hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord in the association of devotees, and above all, understanding that devotional service is the goal of all spiritual activity. So engage in regular devotional service, and if you're in good company, you will be hearing and chanting while performing that devotional service, and it will help you remember. Your memory will get improved by chanting your rounds every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Go to Premanande, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Granth Raj Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hari 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 Bol.